So please pray with me. Heavenly Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my God, my strength and my Redeemer. Amen. In a few moments, we will sing the anthems for the cross. We glory in your cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify your holy resurrection. For by virtue of your cross, joy has come to the whole world. But what is glorious about the cross? And why is the cross the universal symbol of Christianity? Why isn't some sort of image of an empty tomb? I know there are other symbols of Christians, like fish and things like that. But the cross is the universal symbol of Christianity. And we have crosses here, a pectoral cross here. Some of you might have crosses jewelry. Some of you might even have crosses tattoos. My wife's hometown is down in southern Illinois, and as we drive down in that area, there's a town called Effingham, and they have a massive cross at the joining of two interstates. It's 198 feet tall. It's 13 feet wide. 180 tons of steel. It's massive right there in the middle of this junction of interstate. And I imagined, indulge me a little bit of sci-fi, but if Pontius Pilate, if the Romans, if anyone from the past, especially of the Roman era, were to see that massive cross in Effingham, what would they think? What would they think of the adoration of the cross, which we have within our service, or seeing households and children and in the stations of the cross? It would seem unimaginable, because to the Romans, the cross was not a symbol of hope or of joy that has come into the world, but instead a symbol of utter darkness. It was a method of torture and shame and of death. And Jesus hung on the cross for 6 hours in a torturous, extended death. And so there is a disjunction with 198-foot crosses at interstate junctions. Why is that a symbol? Why do we consider that to be a symbol of hope? And why do we say, as we will later in our service, by virtue of your cross, joy has come to the whole world? What is glorious about the cross? This evening's readings from Hebrews speaks of the law being but a shadow of good things to come. And similarly, we might wonder if maybe the cross is a shadow of good things to come and is not actually a good thing, that by virtue of your cross, joy has come to the world. We might wonder if the cross is a shadow and or wonder perhaps is it a true form of heavenly realities. The law, which is spoken of in our Hebrews passage, is speaking of the Ten Commandments, but it's also speaking of a number of different ordinances of how God would relate to his people, how his people would relate to him, and how people were to relate to one another. It was laws to set God's people apart from other nations, and laws that included a pattern of sacrifice for both worship and then also for repentance before God. And the law was patterned on a heavenly architecture. It was an image of how God's kingdom would come on earth as in heaven. But it was a shadow of things to come. It included in the law actual architecture, things like tabernacle, things like the temple, with walls, with curtains of separation. That there was a court for the Gentiles, which they couldn't go past. There was a court for the women, which they could not go past. And then a court for the men, for priests. And finally, the Holy of Holies, in which only the high priest could enter once a year. So an actual architecture with different walls or curtains of separation. There were daily and annual sacrifices offered in the tabernacle and in the temple, and offered repeatedly and symbolically by people, by priests, and ultimately by the high priest. And there were sacrifices of grain or of wine, but often sacrifices of blood as a token of the life of the one making the offering, but also of actual life, of the lifeblood of a creature whom God had made. It was a blood as a token of life and a very hands-on sacrifice, but still just a substitute, because again, to offer our own life would be to pour out our own blood. And so it was not the worshiper's own blood, but a substitute, a representation of the life of the one giving the offering. And so it could be an expression of thanksgiving, of repentance. It could have different character, that offering of life and offering of blood. But no matter what those offerings were made, they could never cleanse the conscience of the worshiper. The people and priests and high priests were still people who would come unclean and imperfect into that holy place, looking for the time in which God's kingdom indeed would truly come on earth as it is in heaven. And there are two shadows of good things to come that are spoken of in our readings today. First, the Day of Atonement in our reading from Hebrews, and then the Passover, which is an image looking back but also looking forward. Our reading from Hebrews references the annual Day of Atonement, also known as Yom Kippur. And once a year, the chief priest would enter into the Holy of Holies, bringing the blood of a bull and the blood of a goat, and bringing them into the Holy of Holies and cleansing the mercy seat, which was the lid of the Ark of the Covenant. And there would be a second goat as well that wasn't sacrificed in the giving of or taking of its life, but was instead sent out into the wilderness as a scapegoat. That's where we get that idea of scapegoat. And so the high priest would offer this blood on the mercy seat, a covering for this Ark of the Covenant, which contained manna, bread from heaven that God had fed his people with, copies of the tablets of the law which God had given to Moses and Aaron's rod. That's one shadow of good things to come. Our reading from John references the Passover, that it is the day of preparation on which Jesus was crucified. And that was the day in which lambs were sacrificed for that feast of Passover, for the feast marking Israel's deliverance from Egypt, in which blood was put on the doorposts of the people of Israel, sparing the firstborn sons of all those who were in those homes, but pronouncing judgment upon those who were not covered by the blood of the Lamb. And so Passover was a feast of what God had already done, but was also an anticipation of what God would do in the fullness of time in setting free his people and establishing a new kingdom again on earth as it is in heaven. The cross is glorious because in the fullness of time, on this Good Friday, Jesus revealed the true form of the heavenly reality spoken of in the Day of Atonement and in the Passover. These things that were shadows of things to come. And once the true form of those realities were shown, the shadows of these forms were superseded, that what was just a representation was now sort of overwhelmed by the thing that they could see face to face. Jesus is the true form of the heavenly realities, of the heavenly architecture, of God's kingdom come on earth as in heaven, and God truly with us in the most holy places. And through his life and death and resurrection, he completed the daily sacrifices and the annual sacrifices, and then sat down. As the firstborn Son of God, he opened the way to God through the Passover of his body and blood, as that was what he celebrated with his disciples before his crucifixion. We glory in his cross because God transformed this most cruel and dark instrument of death into a symbol of light and life. That Jesus is the true Passover Lamb by whom we are spared from death and set free from bondage to the world, the flesh, and the devil. And that his death and his cross, in which his blood was upon on either side, becomes the doorway to our life and salvation. And Jesus is likewise a great high priest, one with perfect integrity of body, mind, spirit, and one who said, "Your will be done," and then was able to actually accomplish it, not just in a moment, but over the course of his whole life. And so Jesus, as a high priest, didn't need to come with a substitute sacrifice, but could offer himself for the sins of the people, and offering himself and then again seating himself at the right hand of God. We glory in the cross because it is the true form of God's love for us. Not a substitution, but God's very life offered, given for the life of the world. And God gave his Son, his only Son, the Son whom he loved, to atone for the judgment that was reserved for us. For the wages of sin are death. The gift of God is life in Christ. Even humanity's most terrible rebellion of crucifying the Son of God was overcome. And we glory in the cross, for through his death, Jesus opened a way for us to enter in the presence of God with our hearts sprinkled clean, with our consciences clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water of being buried in his death and brought to life through his resurrection. And we glory in the cross as well because the walls of separation between Jews and Gentiles, between men and women, in God's house, those walls of separation have been removed. And through Jesus, all the nations of the world are blessed. And we glory in the cross because, like arks of a new covenant, we have tablets of God's law written upon our hearts and our minds. And we receive true food and drink and heaven and bread that comes down from heaven in the body and blood of his Son. We glory in the cross because the shadows are superseded by the true realities. And one day we look forward to when we can actually see Jesus himself and see God face to face. We glory in our exodus from slavery to the world, the flesh, and the devil, trusting that God will judge our enemies and those who hate us, that we can commend judgment to him and offer forgiveness to others. We glory in the grace and the mercy of our God, that it is indeed a grave and a fearful thing for us to go on sinning deliberately and despising the sacrifice which God has made in Jesus Christ. But if we confess our sins, he is faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from even that terrible rebellion. As the choir will sing, it is a great depth of mercy, a mercy reaching even to me and to you, that God, the just, holds back his wrath and spares us, even the chief of sinners. And so we will glory in the cross, O Lord, and praise and glorify his resurrection. For by virtue of his cross, joy has come to the whole world. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.